This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A meeting that official Washington would have loved to be a fly on the wall at took place this morning. The grand jury in the Valerie Plame case met for 3 hours. Special Counsel Patrick Fitzgerald is believed to be finishing up his investigation into whether members of the Bush administration illegally leaked Plame's identity while she was serving as a CIA operative. By Friday, Fitzgerald must either seek indictments, close the case without charges, or ask a judge to allow his investigation to continue. In a moment, we'll look back on the claims and counterclaims that led to this investigation in the first place.
First, though, some explanation about the role of the grand jury. Daniel Richman is a former federal prosecutor in New York and now a professor at Fordham Law School. He says federal grand juries have two functions.
One is to investigate, which many grand juries really don't do much of, but special grand juries can be expected to do a lot of. The other is to screen, to determine whether the government has met its burden of having sufficient evidence to pursue a case formally before a court.
One key difference between a grand jury and a trial would be there's no judge in that room, no lawyer for the witnesses. It's basically the prosecutor's show.
It very much is the prosecutor's show. The prosecutor is in the enviable position of being both the presenter of evidence to the grand jury and the grand jury's legal advisor.
How many people sit on a federal grand jury?
Federal grand juries need to have at least 16 and up to 23 people. And to get an indictment, the government needs 12 votes. So essentially, you at the very least need a majority of who's there, and you may have far more than that.
Okay. So by no means does it have to be unanimous, then?
Not at all. Every aspect of grand jury procedure really drives home how radically different these animals are from trials.
As a former federal prosecutor, you would have presented cases before a grand jury. And I wonder, when you think about this case, the Valerie Plame leak investigation, what would Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald be trying to do in that grand jury room?
The most important thing I would assume he's doing is trying to figure out what the facts are. He really lacks the ability, in many cases, to force witnesses to come into his office and give testimony. And this is a power that the government uses most in white-collar cases and certainly can lead, if there's any blocking of this power, to obstruction charges, to perjury charges, and all kinds of statutes can be brought to bear on someone who does not cooperate with the grand jury's investigation.
In a trial, in a courtroom where a trial is underway, at the end of a case, both sides will sum up their arguments, and the jury will get instructed on the law, and then they'll go out and they'll deliberate. What happens in a grand jury when it comes time, when the term is up, and they need to figure out whether they're indicting or not? What actually happens in there?
At the point at which the prosecutor thinks that all the evidence that he wants to present to the grand jury has been presented, he will present to the grand jury a draft indictment, very much something that has been gone over and thought through at the prosecutor's office, but that the grand jury will be seeing for the first time. The grand jury will be given a chance to review that, but before they do, they will be charged by the prosecutor on what the operative legal principles are, essentially what the elements of the crime are. Perhaps the grand jury will have questions about that, and then the prosecutor will ask the grand jurors to deliberate. And the grand jurors will deliberate in complete secrecy without any reporter present and certainly without any prosecutor present.
And then what happens? The prosecutor comes back in?
They will alert him that they have reached a decision on the indictment. Odds are, if you look at the run of cases, but one never knows, they will say, yes, we have voted a true bill, which is just the fancy expression for having voted the indictment, and they will sign it for him.
So if there were indictments in this case, you would expect once they have been delivered to a judge that that would become public when those, if there are people indicted, when they turn themselves in or when they're charged?
I would expect that after the filing of the indictment, there would be a short period during which the indictment would be sealed and a surrender date would be worked out with whoever is named in the indictment. At that time, they would surrender and the indictment would be unsealed.
Daniel Richman, thanks very much.
Pleasure to be with you.
Daniel Richman is a former federal prosecutor in New York. He's now a professor at Fordham Law School.